Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Devastating forest fires, skies darkened by smoke, are an annual event in some parts of the country. But last summer, for the first time in memory, daylight was obscured in the Northeast 4 days as unprecedented fires burned in Quebec and Nova Scotia. We all remember those pictures from New York City, right? Day essentially turned to night. And while the medical community sent out warnings about masks and breathing in dangerous particulate matter, a dermatologist at Boston's Massachusetts General Hospital noticed a sharp increase in skin conditions. Dr. Shadi Karosh is director of the Dermatology Division of Community Health at Mass General Hospital. Her study was published in the online journal Dermatology and Therapy. Dr. Karosh, welcome back.
Thank you, Robin. Good to be here.
So tell us what you were seeing on skin, because we know about particulate matter and chemicals that can create breathing disorders that, you know, get in the lungs. But what was this doing to skin?
These pollutants, for example, PM2.5, that's the particulate matter that becomes airborne in pollution, carbon monoxide gas, nitrous oxide gas, that become airborne, when they come in contact with the skin, they can irritate the skin and actually corrode the skin barrier. That's been shown in studies. And then they cause inflammation, they cause DNA damage, which can lead to premature aging, and exacerbates the baseline inflammation that people with eczema already have.
Right.
So anyone, even a person who doesn't have eczema or atopic dermatitis, could suffer if their skin was exposed to a lot of pollution, especially frequently.
You saw it anecdotally. You saw there's a spike. And the data seemed to prove it out. You pulled 5 years of government EPA information, and you saw that these cases were higher now.
Yes. So as a dermatologist, my background is in public health. I was very fortunate to train under some real experts in environmental health who taught me to look at a patient's disease and their conditions through the lens of what might be happening in their environment. So our own patients started coming into clinic last summer after the wildfire events in Canada were causing peak pollution levels. Like New York City, for example, reported peak pollution levels in history. Boston also had peak levels of PM2.5 as well as carbon monoxide. So during this period, we had patients in my clinic that were coming in saying that their eczema was worse in the summertime. That got our attention because that's unseasonable. And then one patient in particular told us that he had actually never had eczema or such severe problems with his skin in his life until after he had been in New York during the day that was the peak level of pollution. And so my research team went to government data. The Environmental Protection Agency publishes data for the entire country by region of where they have sensors that track levels of pollution over time. And so my team looked at the data for Boston over the past 5 years. And sure enough, we found that there was a significant difference. Then we went to the scientific literature and we saw that there were reports in other countries that have historically had much higher pollution levels, like China, for example, where carbon monoxide was causing really severe eczema flares in children and sometimes can cause allergic reactions even on top of making the eczema worse.
Yeah, because the eczema can sort of like open the door and then the pollutants can get in deeper and they can trigger the immune system?
Yes. And what's also interesting is sometimes people ask me about the relationship between asthma and eczema. One of the ways that the skin is actually worsened by pollution is not only through the pollution settling on the skin, it's through the person breathing it into their lungs, and that activates the immune system in the lungs. So a person's really getting two hits, one directly from these harmful compounds coming in contact with the skin, and then it could also be from breathing it in and triggering the immune system to then further react in the skin.
This can be debilitating. It's not just, a cosmetic problem.
That's absolutely right, Robin. Over 31 million people in the United States are diagnosed with eczema or atopic dermatitis. This can be an extremely debilitating condition that can impact a person's ability to sleep, their ability to function at their job and can cause a terrible effect on a person's quality of life.
Yeah.
And then, as we said, it can make them more vulnerable to other things, because if your skin barrier is weakened, it's vulnerable not only to increasing damage and inflammation from pollution, but also to skin infections.
Well, and just to round it out, there's something called the atopic march, where it might start with skin diseases and problems, but it could march right into food allergies.
Yes, the atopic march refers to a kind of hyperreactivity of the immune system. So, for example, a person could have hypersensitivity in their lungs, which causes them to have asthma, and they could also have it in their digestive tract, which is related to food allergies. So it's important that we think about the impacts of the environment on the person's entire body, affecting their skin, affecting their lungs, and affecting their immune system and the inflammatory state that would be in their body as a result of that.
Well, I mean, you've opened our eyes to the impact of pollution on our skin, but you also have advice for what people can do. Can you literally mask your skin?
Well, to some extent, yes. And that was part of the guidance that was being given to the public during these times of peak pollution. People were being advised to wear a mask when they went outside, you know, N95 masks if possible, and to stay indoors if that was possible for them, and to keep doors and windows closed of their homes and of their cars. You know, while that can be helpful in some degree, as a physician who takes care of vulnerable communities in parts of Boston that are subjected to even more pollution because they might be near the airport or they might be near factories that are also creating chronic pollution. And then they have this acute air pollution event on top of what's already going on. Simply telling people to cover their skin and staying indoors may not be enough. And also, our standard building ventilation systems don't actually filter out air pollution. And so I'm working with other physicians here at Mass General to think about ways that we can help advocate for our patients. And we believe that, you know, doctors, the medical community, public health officials should work with government agencies, you know, really helping people to get high quality air filters into their homes and workplaces if possible. And then thinking about innovative ways that we can work to purify our air in our cities. And then also think about the agents that are being used to contain wildfires. Because, for example, some of the agents that are used to put out wildfires or contain them contain chemicals known as ammonium phosphates. And these can also be irritating to the skin. So it's possible that not only the wildfire smoke and the pollution itself is a problem, but the chemicals that are used to contain them might also be airborne irritants to the skin.
But in the meantime, it sounds like you're saying we can think of air pollution the way we think of the sun. You can cover up, you know, cover up your arms and legs, wear a mask, which will help your lungs, but also will help your skin. But also use sunscreens, the kind that have zinc or titanium, that because you're trying to find a physical barrier between the pollution and the skin.
You're right, Robin. And it's a great question about sunscreen, because not all sunscreens protect the skin against pollution. The only ones that really do are the ones that contain mineral filters. So that would be sunscreens that have active ingredients like zinc and titanium that protect against a broader range of rays from the sun, but also they protect from pollution. So absolutely covering your face, neck, and arms, for example, and hands when you go outside with sunscreens. Wearing a mask and sunglasses as well during high pollution times, and trying to stay indoors and keeping your doors and windows closed can be helpful.
And then also maybe think about it the way we think about allergies. Wash yourself. Wash off the pollutants the way you can wash off, you know, pollen. Wash your bed sheets.
That's a great point as well. And then after washing our face, apply a moisturizer to help repair that barrier, because these chemical pollutants in the air can actually corrode the lipid barrier of our skin.
Shadi Kharoche, director of the Dermatology Division of Community Health at Mass General Hospital here in the Boston area. Dr. Kharoche, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.